Well, today is a special day for Sarah and myself, because we get to eat all this good food here in a little bit. But no, that's going to be good. And I hope the aroma of the food doesn't become a distraction to you. Somebody's already asked me how long I was going to preach today if I usually went over on days when we ate. I try not to, but I can't promise, okay? This message, is a message you'll learn more about what I'm saying here in just a moment. This is a message that I've preached before. Last time I preached, it took 2 hours and 15 minutes. It didn't take that long, but I am going to condense it a little bit today, but I want you to bear with us. This is a special day for Sarah and myself because this is our 10th anniversary here at Voice of Praise. 10 years ago, this would have been December 7th rather than December 8th. But this is 10 years. Man, it doesn't seem possible. And we have enjoyed ourselves immensely being pastor here. You have blessed us. We hope that we have blessed you. I have no plans on going anywhere, although I will say this, if I get the call, I might consider it. Somebody handed me this, a few weeks ago, and a WVU sticker. If they call me for head football coach, I may go. Cause I couldn't do any worse than what they've been having. Right? No, I'm just kidding. We have no intentions of going anywhere unless the Lord takes us home or He would suddenly direct us otherwise. And right now I have no anticipations of that happening. But we have been so blessed and 10 years have went by so fast. They have went by so fast. And in those 10 years, we have had babies. Lots of babies. I told a life group this morning, it's time for a second wave of babies. Most of them, they're getting up now. Some of them getting up towards 2 years old. We need that second wave of babies coming through. Be fruitful and multiply, young people, as long as you're married, you know. But it's been good. We have welcomed the babies. We have oversaw weddings, officiated weddings. We've even buried some of our loved ones in these 10 years. We've walked through some valleys and we've celebrated some mountaintops. But the journey has been very fulfilling to me. I want you to know that and to Sarah. And, I hope the next 10 years I'm anticipating the next 10 years are just going to get even better. And this morning, I want to share a message with you. As it's a milestone for us, I want to share in a form, the same message that I preached here 10 years ago. How many of y'all remember it? Sarah raised her hand. She remembered it. And I know that's unfair because some of you weren't here 10 years ago. You see, Sarah and I came from being on pastoral autopilot at our former church. We were on autopilot, and I'm not trying to resurrect old memories or things like that, but Sarah and I arrived here to a wounded congregation. A congregation that needed healing. And we arrived here to a church that had a lot of junk. Amen, Mike Dillo. He and I overfilled a 3-ton container. I think we ended up close to 5 tons of junk in that thing. Some of it you thought was good stuff. Some of y'all did. But when you turn Mike Dillo loose, it goes, you know. We had morbid-looking blue walls that had been painted with sponges, and we painted walls, we fixed ceilings, we painted ceilings. We've done a whole lot of things, and we've got more coming up in the near future. But when Sarah and I came here, the church was fractured in a manner of speaking. But the one thing we came here with, and the one thing that Sarah and I still have today, is we are certain that we came where God wanted us to come to. And we're certain that we're still where God wants us to be. Okay? This church went through a pastoral vacancy a couple of years, 2 or 3 years before we came. It went through a pastoral transition. And I felt a drawing. I'll be frank with you. I didn't even know where Bluewell was, okay? Over the years, I have learned, I have discovered that I was in Bluewell one time back in the 70s before there ever was an I-77. I came to Nick's House of Color. Any of y'all remember that? Come with my uncle over to buy a color TV. But I had no clue where Bluewell was. But I just felt a drawing, for whatever reason, to this Voice of Praise Worship Center that I heard about. And we came over on a Sunday evening. Is that right? Sunday? Was it Sunday afternoon? Was it Friday? I thought we came on Sunday because we were scared that they would be having Sunday evening service and somebody would want to know who we were. We just came over, had never seen the facility, had never been to Bluewell before, and we came over and we drove around this place and we pulled right up on the parking lot out on this side and we sat there and we prayed about it, and it was just like the Holy Spirit told us, it's not time yet. And then some 3 years later, it became time. Now, I don't know why everything had to happen in that next 3 years and in the occurrences that occurred, and I'm not going to continue to reflect on that. But for whatever reason, I believe that God had ordained for us to come here at a specific time for a specific season, and I believe we're still there today. So here we are, 10 years later, and just look around and look what the Lord has done. Amen. Because I think our first Sunday here, we had about 55 people in service. So I pulled out this message from December 7th, 2014. And with a little, but very little massaging, I'm going to preach it to you again this morning. Okay? So if you would, in your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. Because the majority of the people in this room, two-thirds of you, didn't hear this message the third time. But I want to preach to you the message with this thought in mind. All that it takes is you. All that it takes is you. So Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. Nehemiah said, so we built the wall, and all of it was joined together to half its height, for the people had a heart and a mind to work. And as we study the background of Nehemiah and what happened here, Nehemiah was grieved in his spirit. If you go back and look in chapter 1, you can find Nehemiah is grieved to see the walls of Israel lying in ruins. He was grieved to see it, and it broke his heart. And grief, we don't like grief, but you know, sometimes grief can be very fruitful for us, because grief will cause us to be motivated, and grief can cause us to move in ways that we may otherwise never have moved. And that's exactly what happened to Nehemiah. His grief drove him in compassion. And Nehemiah, without going into all the detail, read chapter 1. You find that Nehemiah, he seeks the Lord. And in chapter 1, you will find that Nehemiah finds favor with the king. Favor came through the means, in particular, of prayer and fasting. But when you find favor with the king, that means not only do you get his permission, but he also equips you to do what you need to do. Then as we get into chapter 2, we find that in chapter 2 that there is an assessment of the damage. Nehemiah, he beholds the walls broken, and he beholds the walls crumbled. fractured, if you would. In need of being healed, if you would. So we find then, in the assessment of damage, that we realize there is a need. After the assessment is made, Nehemiah, again in chapter 2, makes a call of camaraderie. There's a saying that goes around that says, we are better together. There's another acronym, acrostic that I like, that says team. It's using the word team. It says, together, everyone accomplishes more. So we find that in this story, or if you would, this account of Nehemiah, you find that through the call of camaraderie, every person has a brick in their hand. Every person has a work to do on this wall. And the assignments in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you will find, are made according to the talents that each person has. We see in the New Testament, we study and we find the scripture there that everybody's not the ear, everybody's not the nose, everybody's not the hands or the fingers. We all have different parts of the body that we fulfill, but it takes all of the body working together to be whole or complete. If you, one of us in this room, if you're missing a toe, or if you're missing a finger, or you're missing, God forbid that you're missing an eye, or any part of your body that's missing, then in our society, we call it a handicap. It means that you are less than complete. Let me tell you something about the body of Christ. Without you, the body of Christ, in one sense of speaking, is handicapped. Yes, God can do whatever He wants to, however He wants to, but God chooses to use people just like me and people just like you. Don't ever second guess your abilities. Don't ever second guess your talents. Don't ever compare your abilities, your talents, and your giftings to another person, because God is not wanting you to fill your position with that person's giftings. He wants you to fill your position with what He has given you to do, and therefore that's when the whole body becomes complete. So according to their talents in chapter 3, God, or Nehemiah, we see, begins to make assignments, and here he's a type of the Lord in this whole project, and we see that camaraderie of people, after the assessment of damage is made, after favor has been given, begin to work the wall. Wow, what a great picture of the family of God. We're not to where we are at this morning. We haven't come from 10 years ago to now without working together. I can promise you that. And for those of you that are maybe you're a little bit newer in the room, or we have several first time guests this morning, and I hope you were given one of these connect cards and you fill that out. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. But let me tell you something. God has blessed us, and to God be all the glory and all the credit. But let me say this. We didn't get to where we're at this morning because that the Lone Ranger has done it with a silver bullet and Tonto by his side. Hello, Tonto. Wave at everybody. No, it's because that we've all been working together. And out of 33, almost 34 years of ministry, just here in a few weeks, let me tell you this one thing that I know and I can say without a shadow of a doubt. This congregation, this body of people, is the absolute greatest congregation of people that we call a church that I have ever had the opportunity to serve and to lead before in all of my years of ministry. You guys are the absolute greatest, and with Jesus' help, I believe we're one of the greatest churches in all of Mercer County. Can you give Jesus a hand clap for His goodness? And give yourself a hand clap for the camaraderie that you show. Go ahead, because you guys are awesome. But then what happens in chapter 4? What happens in chapter 4, we see that the opposition came along. Sanballat. Sanballat was a type of the devil. He was a type of the aggressor, if you would. But in chapter 4, we find that the enemy comes along. So what happens when the enemy comes along? In chapter 4, if you read verses 9 and verses 13, you will find that Nehemiah assigned some to stand guard. Stand guard. Some to stand, if you would, stand prayer. They had their sword in one hand, their mason's trowel in the other hand. They're laying brick and they're ready to sword somebody, to stick somebody, you know, at the first threat of violence or the first threat of opposition. You see, more than ever before, the higher the wall went, the greater the enemy became threatened. Understand this. The more Voice of Praise Worship Center grows, the more unity that we have, there's strength in numbers, and the more people that come together. Believe this with me. Trust me when I tell you this. The enemy's not too worried when we're all divided. He's not too concerned if we're all going our own direction and we're doing our own separate thing. And yes, I realize there's different ministries in the church, but we still are in unity. But if the enemy can break the unity, then he can infiltrate the house. So we must stand watch. We must stand guard, because where the Lord has blessed us and how the Lord has blessed us and the unity that we have, even in this room this morning, in all of the activities. Yesterday was a Christmas parade. Today is our banquet. This morning is our worship service. Next week is our Christmas play. The next week is our children's play, and the coat drive, the toy drive, all the other things we're doing. Even though we're doing many different things, it's all being done in unity and togetherness. Let me tell you something. The enemy would like to come in and sever that. So we must stand watch. We must stand guard. We can't stop praying. We can't stop fasting. We can't begin to compare and to compete. But what we have to do is continue. You know, many of you all know, you've heard my story. We're a Pentecostal church by affiliation. We're the part of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I'm Pentecostal Holiness because I chose to be Pentecostal Holiness. But let me tell you something. When I was a little bitty baby, and my mama rocked me in her cradle in the old cotton fields back home. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about there. It's an old song. But the truth of the matter is, when I was a little bitty boy, as a small boy, my mom's family all had their affiliation with the Episcopal Church. First cousin to the Catholics. Okay? When I was a baby, y'all heard me tell this before, but right, still over there in St. John's Episcopal Church in Withfield, there's a big round marble basin. And when I was a baby, I still got the little white gown and the little hat they put on me and all this stuff. And the rector, that's what they called the preacher, the rector held me, so I'm told, over that white basin, and he sprinkled me with water. And in that moment, what happened, I became a wet baby. But I grew up in my early years in the Episcopal Church. Okay? I was in the junior choir. Had my little choir robe and everything. Miss Sadie Lawrence was our choir director. She played the piano. She was one of them old slap happy piano players, you know. Old upright piano in the choir room. But when we'd go out into the sanctuary, is that big pipe organ filled up the whole front of the room. Still there today. Actually the only song that I can ever remember learning in the Episcopal Church, St. John Episcopal Church Junior Choir, was "Onward Christian Soldiers Marching." I got too low. "Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." First song I can ever remember learning in church. Let me tell you something. We still got to march forward. Onward Christian soldiers. Carrying the cross of Jesus. Holding up the banner of salvation. And maintaining unity among the brethren. And if we will do those things, God is continuing. He will, and He plans on continuing to bless us. We have to ignore the taunting voices, just like Nehemiah did when they said, "You know, Sam Valley, you're never going to get this done. Even if a fox comes along and jumps up on it, it's going to fall over." But they worked with one hand and they laid brick with one hand and they had a sword in the other hand. But you understand this, ultimately our source is none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us that evidence in His gospel, in the Gospel of Matthew, when He said, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well." If we put God first and seek God first, as we go forward, however long the Lord tarries His coming, God is going to continue to bless Voice of Praise Worship Center. And guess what? You are a part of that blessing and going forward. So we see the power of unity as it comes into play in Nehemiah 4. Verses 16 through 18, from that day on, half of my men did the work, the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armors. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall, and those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Whew. That's powerful right there if you don't catch that. The man who said, listen, there's only one man, and I use that, the man Jesus Christ. There's only one man that's going to sound the trumpet. And He's still with us, church. He's still with us. He's not left us. He's not forsaken us. He's with us always to the end of the world. And then we find, 52 days later, in Nehemiah chapter 6, we find, in verses 15 and 16, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. 52 days, the wall was done. Now, we didn't get it done in 52 days, but we're seeing Voice of Praise Worship Center rebuilt. You know, we've been praying for revival. How many years ago since we started that, Mike Dillo? 7, 8, 9. From the beginning, really. We've been praying for revival. And sometimes, and I'm even guilty myself, sometimes we waiting on somebody to come in like an evangelist and preach a message, and then we don't swing from the chandeliers and walk the back of the pews, and we call all that revival. But let me tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, revival has happened in Voice of Praise Worship Center. And if you don't believe me, just take the time to turn your head. I know none of us are hoot owls, so you can't do a full 360. But rotate your head as far as you can and look around you at how full this room is this morning. Revival has come and is still going on in Voice of Praise Worship Center. So we didn't get it done in 52 days, but they did. And when all the enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations, they were afraid. And they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Let me tell you something. I'm not concerned if the devil is scared of me or not. All that stuff sounds cool. I heard one guy say one time, he said, "I'm just so full of the Holy Spirit, I could just swing out over hell on a wet spaghetti noodle and holler boo at the devil." I doubt very seriously that the devil will ever be afraid of me, okay? The truth of the matter is, he's probably never going to be afraid of you. I read one the other day. It said, live your life so when you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, the devil says, oh no, they're awake. Let me tell you something. We're talking spiritual warfare, and he has probably never ever been and never will be afraid of me. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a Holy Spirit. There is a God the Father in heaven and a God the Son seated at his right hand. And even though the devil may not be fearful of me, at the name of Jesus, I find out even the demons in hell fear and tremble at that name. And that's the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So listen, he may not be ever scared of me, and that's okay. But let me tell you something. He gives reverence to my God and my Lord and my Creator. So the enemy was defeated. And then in chapter 7 of Nehemiah, you find that some 42,360 people that had been in exile get to come home. See, that's somewhat of a, if you would, an illustration of salvation. It took different folks. It took a group of people being faithful. It took a group of people working with one hand, sword in the other hand. It took somebody that had to be grieved and brokenhearted and see the need of rebuilding the city. It took somebody that had to find favor with the king to be released to build the city. It took all that. And when all of that had happened and the walls rebuilt, then you find that everybody that had been lost outside the city begin to come home. Wow. What a picture of renewal. What a picture of revival. I preached this message 10 years and one day ago. And I preached it with a dream and a vision that this church would once again. And it's not about just people sitting on pews, but it's about lives being touched and lives being changed. But I preached that message 10 years and one day ago with a vision that God would fill this church one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a vision. And let me tell you something. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable in here. But I'm hoping you had to scoot over a little bit tighter than you are right now. I don't like mauve, okay? That's a color. Is that what the color of these are? Is that mauve? Yeah, I don't like mauve. I don't want to see any mauve when I look back there at y'all. I want to see smiling faces. I even want to see sad faces. I want to see faces that are troubled. I want to see faces of people rather than colors of upholstery. So what happens in chapter 7? The exiles come home. There's a financial blessing that occurs if you read chapter 7, verses 70 and 71. You'll read a financial blessing. You know, we strive to be good stewards over the money, over your faithfulness to tithe and offering in this church. But because there are more people, God is blessing us more so financially. And God is allowing us to do things not only here in the church, but over some of you all, for those of you that are new, maybe you don't realize, I know last week was Mission Sunday, but somewhere in the neighborhood of one third of the finances that come through this church goes out into missions work all over the world. The church budget is not supplying the coats and the toys out there. That's through the generosity of people's giving. But let me tell you what's about to happen. I was going to wait until in announcements, but I don't let the proverbial cat out of the bag. Voice of Praise Worship Center, we're going to bless. I'm calling it, we're going to have a pajama blessing. We are fixing. In fact, if you go in Madison's office, it's sitting full of them. We are fixing to bless every resident in Princeton Healthcare Center with a brand new pair of pajamas. Merry Christmas. Yeah. And we can do these things because God has blessed financially through you and your faithfulness. And there's many other things through it. It wasn't an absolute necessity, but I don't know how many thousands of pieces of Christmas candy they threw out yesterday in the parades, but God, we were still blessing in our community. But then most importantly, we see a spiritual restoration displayed. We see the Word being made manifest. We see the work of repentance occurring in the lives of the people. And then in chapter 12, you witness a celebration. And I celebrate Jesus this morning. But to do all that, we have to have Jesus. And if we have Jesus, then all it takes is you. All it takes is you. Say, well, Pastor, I really can't do anything. Sure you can. Pastor, I don't have any talents. For some reason we limit talents to singing and playing, okay? I don't know. You know, you can have all kind of talents, you know. You may be the best yo-yoer in the world, you know, or something. I don't know. But listen. We have Jesus. And all else we need is you. All it takes is you. I once read that no wall, I think it was Corrie Ten Boom maybe said this, I don't know, but it said, I read this, no wall has ever been built with just one brick. No wall has ever been built with just one brick. When I preached this message 10 years and one day ago, I had a little sack of bricks that I bought at Hobby Lobby, and I thought I still had it, but evidently I didn't. So it sort of spoiled the way I wanted to do this today. But up here on this table to my right, there is a little tub full of kids' building bricks. And I'm not sure that we have enough for every person in the room, but at least every family. I want you to know, just like the building bricks, the Holy Spirit is equipping us to build the church. It's Christ's church. He said, I will build my church, but He chooses to use people. Corrie Ten Boom did say, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. You see, that's the importance of the church. That's the importance of having the church family, the unity of the church. 10 years ago, Sarah and I did go ahead and serve communion to every single person that was in the church, and it was smaller congregation this morning. And last week we partook of communion, so we're not going to do it again this week, but it was a beautiful example of solidarity, of us coming together. And though I can't find all of my little bricks I thought I had from 10 years ago, Mike Dillo may have threw them away. I don't know. But we do have a couple little boxes of bricks up here. And I don't ask John and if he would come back and play us some. And if the rest of you guys want to come and join him, you're welcome to, Adam and Tim and Carrie and whoever else. Is Heath in the room? Heath could play guitar. Y'all come on up here and join. Just follow. Yeah, he'll change chords and y'all just follow him, okay? That's the Pentecostal way anyway. So 10 years ago, we used all those little bricks and we gave y'all everybody one before we started service. And then I had you all come up and I had you to set one brick upon another and we built us a little wall, okay? Now this morning, we don't have all of these little bricks like I had before. I should have checked my inventory, but we do have all of these and they're different colors and they're different shapes. But this is what I want you to do right now. And after we get done building our wall, then we'll come to a conclusion in the service. But I want to ask you this question. Before you ever lay a block on this wall this morning, do you know Jesus is your Savior? in order to have the unity that we need to have is the unity of the brethren. What you and I need is Jesus. That's the common bond. That's the tie. So I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment this morning. With those heads, your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you a question. What a great Christmas present this could be for somebody. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you've gone back on the Lord, you've backslidden, and you need to rededicate your life, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I promise I won't embarrass you. Pastor, pray for me this morning. Anybody at all in this room, Pastor, pray for me. I need to rededicate my life. Pastor, I need to be saved. Is there one in this room? Thank you for that hand. Is there another in this room? Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I need to be saved. For that hand that went up, I'll pray right now, and I want you to pray along with me. And we'll be more than happy to pray with you as we corporately, if that's your desire, at the end of the service. But for you and everybody else in this room, I want you to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I confess you as my Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me new. Make me whole. Restore me to that position that you first designed me to be. Make me a brand new creature. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I choose to believe you in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can take that prayer, taking it to heart, and that is all you need to begin this journey of salvation in your life. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the Roman church, you shall be saved. But come see me or my wife, and we would love to talk to you, love to pray with you. But now, here's what I want you to do. We may have to do this by family, and that's okay. I want to start, and this is going to take just a few minutes, but we're going to be okay. I want to start over here with the Lesnett family. And we'll just work our way up this side, and then down the middle, and then up the other side. I want you to come over here, and I want you to lay a block. Mike, you're starting it all. Well, Sarah and I will put one out. That's the beginning block. Just put us another block on that. That's good. Now, come on, y'all, file on down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, if you want to do it as a family, that's fine. But we don't put some blocks together.